We welcome each and every of you who came to Stone Tower Church to worship our Creator God on this happy Sabbath. And this is some announcing time, and I have one announcement from Elder King.
Hey, you see, we have the books again here this week. These books are completely different than the books that were here last week. And we're going to have the books for a couple more weeks, I guess, and they'll be rotated. So be sure to spend some time out there. And normally, I guess they don't normally have the books stay one place because I'll tell you that you may have noticed these tucked in there. They're a little bit hard to see because they're kind of invisible. But if you want to make a contribution, you can put your financial contributions in here. But what they're not really looking for is for you to add your books from home into those bins. In fact, they generally have the books in a church for 1 week. But we're getting them for 4 weeks. And the goal is for them to unload that warehouse and to put them in the hands of people that will use them. So take as many books as you want for your own use or to share with other people. Make a financial contribution if you want, but please don't add your books from home to the bins, because these books are cataloged and warehoused, and they're trying to move them out of the warehouse. So that was my message for today, and really appreciate the great job you guys did last week of taking lots of books, and let's get those in the hands of readers. Thank you.
One announcement for the church affair is that we have a first reading of membership transfer. It's Daniel Lambert from Stone Tower to Journey Adventist Church, Kelso, Washington. So this is first reading. So next Sabbath, we'll have a vote. Okay. Well, as America is entering into the Thanksgiving season, we live in this society now in America. There are so many diverse groups of people. But I still believe that the Christian community should be the first group that has to be sensitive toward Thanksgiving. Do you agree with me? Yes. You know what the Thanksgiving, the word Thanksgiving, we all know giving, right? But the word thank, and we say thank you, thank her, thank him, or thank God, or what does a thank really means? Actually, this word started from the Latin words, and it as actually says that the meaning is think. So in other words, think and thought, these are very important meaning of when we say thank you or thank him. So as we enter into this Thanksgiving season, we are not just a group of Christians who just think to set apart 1 week a year and thinking about thankfulness. But actually, this is the season where we recollect how much God has blessed in our life throughout the whole years. I know all of you and myself, we had a time of prosperity, time of austerity in our life this year. And we also had a time of healthy life or time of sickness. And we had time of happiness and time of sadness. But I think we have to learn how to be thankful in all things. Because Bible says, as you know, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you or me. So how in everything we can be thankful? Of course, we are very thankful in our prosperity, in our health, in our joyfulness, but how we can be thankful in austerity, in illness, in disappointment in our life. I know someone who traveled out of country, out of America, went to other country, and lost passport, an airline ticket, and all the money. And he stayed in foreign airport for 3 days to make sure everything went out and come back home. And that person had still the thankfulness when he arrived to this country. I think when Bible says, when we have a, let me read it here. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which we all are called. In other words, God called us that we have a peace in our heart. And then he says, then you be ye thankful. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Unless we have peace of God in our heart, we can never be thankful to God. And so this week, we are recollecting our thoughts about how God has been leading in our life, and he will therefore guarantee us that he'll continue to lead us until Christ comes or until the last breath of our life. So here in Psalm 104, enter into his gate with what? With a thankfulness. Because without thankfulness, you cannot even enter into God's gate. And also here it says, into his court with praise. And then it says, be thankful unto him and bless his name. We are the one who actually can bless God. I mean, think about it. He bless us, but also we can bless him and his name, what he has done for us. Yeah. Today, our offering is for the youth program for the Oregon Conference. If there's a video, and that will be running, and then if you have in your heart a thankfulness and give offering to God, when you go out on the right side, there's a box where you can drop your offering so nobody can see between you and God. Thank you very much.
Hello, church family. This week, churches across the Oregon Conference are collecting an offering for the Oregon Conference Youth Support. This offering does three very important things in our conference. First off, it supports the ministry of Big Lake Youth Camp, including summer camp, winter events, and the Pacific Crest Trail Welcome Center. The second thing it does is support young adult ministries in the Oregon Conference. Maybe your church has gone through the Growing Together cohort, or your young adults have gone on the young adult retreat at Big Lake. Maybe they've joined in with camp meeting or connected into the Avenus Young Adult Network through events like Night of Worship. The Oregon Conference Youth Support Fund is what helps make that happen. Finally, this offering provides funding for our three senior academies to keep serving students. Between them, Portland Avenus Academy, Columbia Avenus Academy, and Milo Avenus Academy, they are educating over 400 students this school year. 80% of this offering goes to support these academies and their students. When you give a dollar to this offering, 10% goes straight to Big Lake, 10% goes directly to young adult ministries, and 80% goes to our senior academies. When you choose to give to Oregon Conference Youth Support, it makes a real difference in the lives of real people and invests directly in our next generation as we help facilitate lifelong friendships and decisions for Jesus. Thank you for your generosity.
This time it's a children's story by Uncle Frank. And so all the children come up, please.
Okay, come on up, kids. I know we've got a few today. Wow. lots of kids today. Wonderful, wonderful. Great. Any more? Well, how many of you know what ice is? Have you felt ice before? I have a little tray here. It has a little bit of ice in it. Now, you can touch this ice, right? It doesn't hurt you, doesn't do anything to you. It's cold, though, isn't it? It's cold. Is it cold? Is that cold? Yes, that's cold. Well, you know there's an ice out there that's colder than this ice. You know what it's called? It's called dry ice. Dry ice. Has anybody heard of dry ice before? Mm-hmm. You haven't. Sometimes they use it to transport foods and things across the country because it's so cold and it doesn't melt like ice. Ice melts and gets wet. Dry ice evaporates, but it's so cold you have to use gloves to even hold on to it. It's so cold. It makes great for freezing things like ice cream. Well, my story today is when I was little, about your age, my family was traveling across the desert down in Arizona, New Mexico. We had a little trailer in the back of our car, and it was hot. It was like a billion zillion degrees. So hot. You could cook eggs on the pavement. It was so hot. And as we're driving down a road in the middle of the desert, my father saw somebody broke down on the side of the road in the middle of nowhere. And the family, it was a Hispanic family that was standing on the side of the hill, didn't know what to do. The hood was up, and they were broke down. They had some kids that were standing outside. My father drove by and whipped off to the side very quickly to see if we could help. And he came back. We all jumped out of the car, and the kids had been out there for a long period of time, and it was so hot. Well, my father remembered, hey, we've got a basket in our trailer that had dry ice in there. And you know what was in that dry ice? Ice cream bars. And so we went over to the kids and we said, would you like some ice cream bars while we wait? And they said, sure. And we had an ice cream party out in the middle of the hot desert. But we stopped and helped them. You know, this story kind of reminds me of the story that Jesus told about the Good Samaritan. Do you know that story about the Good Samaritan? Where a man got in trouble. They robbed him and left him out in the middle of the desert to die. And two people came by and just walked right past him. But one man stopped and cared for that man and took him and cared for him and took him over and got him something to eat and cared for him when he came back. And the man was very thankful. And I'm sure that family in the middle of the desert was thankful that we stopped by and even more thankful that we had ice cream. So remember, when we were going around, particularly in the Thanksgiving, we are thankful for the things we have, but we also thankful that we can offer that same thanks to the people and people in need that are around us. And we don't want to pass them by, do we? So we want to be just like Jesus and be a reflection of him and how kind and generous he was, right? Now let's have a quick prayer. Does anybody like to pray? Would you? Okay. We'll thank Jesus.
Dear Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for everything you have done for us. Thank you for the things you did for us. Thank you for making us thankful. Thank you for this year and bless this church in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's grab our baskets and collect our children's offerings. Oh, that's so sweet. Thank you. I will get a basket for you, okay?
Good morning. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, may we see our presence here as a divine miracle. For the scripture says that Adam spoke to you following his sin, not because he was righteous, but it says the Lord God called unto Adam, saying, "Where art thou?" Therefore, Adam spoke. Moses was not better than us. It is written, the angel of the Lord appeared unto Moses out of the bush. And Moses then said, I will now turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not consumed. Moses came to you not of himself, but by a divine miracle, a divine calling. May we then see our presence here as a miracle. For in the human heart, there is no interest in God. Thank you for drawing us here today. Since you have drawn us here, we expect a blessing by a revelation of who you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Our call to worship is taken from the book of Psalms, Psalm 100, and it says, make a joyful shout to the Lord. Notice, shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Amen. I'm thankful that the Lord has been patient all these generations, because without his patience, where would we be? So I'm thankful that he is our God and our Savior. So with that being said, let us come together and lift our voices together in praise. As we begin our song service, let us turn to hymn number 560. Number 560, let all things now living. Are you living? So you should be praising him, right? All right, let's sing number 560. And our viewers at home, please join us and raise your voices in song this morning.
Let all things now living, a song of thanksgiving to God the Creator, triumphantly raise, who fashioned and made us, protected and stayed us, who guided us unto the end of our days.
Thank you. I could hear you singing, and it is joyful to hear voices out there. Let's turn to hymn number 557. Come, ye thankful people, come, raise a song of harvest home. More than just the harvest in the field, is it not?
Yes, it is.
Because we are the harvest. And what a blessing that is, that God is patiently and he's going to gather us so that we may go home together. Amen. Amen. Let us turn to hymn number 27 and let us stand together as we sing, Rejoice Ye Pure in Heart.
Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice.
seated.
Going to have our prayer of meditation song this morning. So I invite everyone to sing, If My People.
I invite the congregation, if possible, to kneel when we pray to God for intercessory prayer today. Our Heavenly Father, you are our Creator and we are your creature. Without you, we never existed. But because you gave us the life and we enjoy this life today. And you said today is a day of grace and today is the day of mercy. But this day today is the only day in the whole eternity that will never happen before and it will never happen in the future again. So this day is so precious to us. And you allow us to pray to you. Not only our private prayer life, but also for this congregational prayer together. This is a time we enter into the spiritual world, not just fleshy world where we pray. We are directly communicating with you, our Heavenly Father. We are so negligent and misunderstanding the true meaning of the prayer. This is our soul pouring out to you, to the one who created all this universe, a mighty power, the one who can be solution of all our human remedies and problems. And as we come to you, we have nothing to show you except the righteousness of Jesus Christ and what he has done on the cross, what he has demonstrated from his resurrection, and what he promised that he's coming soon. That is the only things we can grasp to come to you. So we all came here with different backgrounds, but you know who we are, how feeble and how weak we are. But you promised that you'll give us your strength with which we can go through this life. And in a just little while, we'll see you face to face. Give us that faith that we don't have much faith, and strengthen our power because we are not have powerful strength in our life. So as we come to you, we are expecting your blessing through the remaining worship service. And please bless and anoint your servant, the speaker today, the Shannon, as he presents the word that is not only his own word of thoughts, but it's your word that will revive and revitalize our weak spiritual life. as we are praying for each other, especially the two individuals mentioned in our bulletin who needs a special help from you for their illness. And also we know that we need our prayer to each other for strength and comfort. And if there's any things that are in a misunderstanding, please come to us to reconcile each other so that this church will be the unified church of your force to do our mission for this community. And as we move forward, we know that you will bless us because you promised. And we are so grateful that Jesus Christ, who forgave our sins, and he gave us the new life. As we continue our worship service, be with each and every one of us, because this is our prayer. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
The scripture for today's ceremony is taken from Luke 15, verse 2. Luke chapter 15, verse 2 says, "And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." I will be reading this in Oromo. Wangela Lucas bukona kwashan la kufza lama. Varisoni fi parsisoni sierra garu, nimichi kunch ubomota intimata isani wujinis inyata. Ani Jesus irati gungumani.
I am grateful for men who will stand up and sing of the goodness of God. Amen. We're going to share a special hymn with you now. Now thank we all our God.
Good morning again. How are you? Somebody's blessed. How are you? Somebody else is blessed. How are you? Somebody's good. Amen. I'd like to read a sentence to you, monotone, on purpose, as an example. I did not say he stole the money. Is anybody familiar with that sentence? It's a popular sentence in education. What does it mean? Anyone? Any English speakers out there? Well, how about this? I did not say he stole the money. What does that mean?
A profession of someone's innocence.
That's right. I did not say it. That's what it means. What about this? I did not say he stole the money.
Emphatic. I mean, you definitely like.
Completely different meaning.
Yes.
I did not say he stole the money. Completely different meaning than the last two. I did not say he stole the money. completely different meaning. This is a sentence that is used in English classes to show the impossibility of understanding a sentence without the person who wrote it. And therefore, we pray. Therefore, God gives us the promise of His Spirit, because the Bible, even though we speak English, even though we speak Spanish, even though we have the text written in our language, it's not really possible to understand the meaning without God Himself. And so God has promised us His Spirit. So in light of that, let's have a prayer before we speak. Our Heavenly Father, we are described by Jesus. These people seeing, see not, and hearing, hear not, neither do they understand. Our condition as far as seeing and hearing is concerned is an impossible one. But Jesus Christ is given. He said, therefore spake I unto them in parables. By Jesus Christ, the blind can see. By Jesus Christ, the deaf can hear. May we experience that which came to pass in this text. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to share with you today a few of my favorite scriptures. The title of the message today is Jesus Christ, Friend of Sinners. And I feel that that should be a strange title. And by strange, I mean unfamiliar, odd, because it's easy to be a friend to a friend. Isn't that normal? Friend of friend. He gave me something and we're friends. And I return the favor. And there's a friendship there because everyone is nice to each other. But this is Jesus Christ, friend of sinners, friend of the wicked, friend of the evil. And I'd like to, let's turn to Genesis chapter 3 and see that. Genesis chapter 3, we'll begin at verse 6 and 7, and we'll read 21 also, but let's start at verse 6, Genesis 3, 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eye and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Verse 7, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they made sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Let's go to verse 21. Unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Reading in verse 6 and 7, we see an action, we see a result, we see a sin, a wrongdoing, and the result of that is shame. It's called nakedness. It's the painful feeling we have when we've done something we know we shouldn't. And look at God's response. Verse 21, he clothed them. This is not Jesus Christ, friend of righteous. This is Jesus Christ, friend of sinners. It was their responsibility, the nakedness, the shame, the guilt. And God comes in not as an accuser, but he covers. He makes the coat and he puts it on them. Jesus Christ, friend of sinners. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 4. Verse 14. This is the words of Cain, who had just killed his brother. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. We have another action and a result, a consequence of that action. Cain slew his brother, and Cain knows, he says, everyone that findeth me shall slay. These are the results of his own action. He brought this upon himself. Look at God's response in verse 15. We'll read the end. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. In our minds, God loved Abel and hated Cain. But this is not the scripture. This is not the understanding that God designs to give to us. The Lord set a mark, not upon Abel, but upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. Cain brought death upon himself when he killed his brother, and God set a mark upon him, preserving his life in spite of what he had done. This is Jesus Christ, friend of sinners. This is good news to us, good news to me, because Shannon Goodwin is not righteous. Shannon Goodwin is a sinner. This is the way the heart is described. The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. This is the human heart. The famous famous Adventist text, what is that, Jeremiah, it doesn't matter where it's found. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. This is the human heart. So it does us no good to imagine God, Jesus Christ, friend of righteous, because none of us have that by nature. But Jesus Christ, friend of sinners, qualifies all of us to be in the favor of God. Let's review. Genesis 6, she did eat, he did eat, guilt. What does God respond with? Help. He covered. The nakedness was their fault, but God responds by covering them, showing that he is a friend of sinners. Cain slew his brother. The results of that, those who loved Abel would come and seek his life. And it says, the Lord God set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. May we today view God as a friend of sinners. That thing you did, may it not separate you between you and God. For Jesus Christ is friend of sinners. Let's continue. Let's turn to Jonah chapter 1 verse 12. Is Jonah here today? I was halfway expecting to make eye contact with him when I brought this up. Jonah 1, 12. Look what Jonah says. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. This is great. This is Jonah's idea. Take me up and cast me forth into the sea. Look at verse 15. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea. Why did they cast him forth into the sea? Because Jonah said, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So who was the cause of that? Jonah's fault. Jonah's fault. Look at God's response. Verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Jesus Christ, friend of sinners. We know Jonah was involved in a great disobedience at the time. And look what God responds with. The Lord God prepared a fish to swallow up Jonah and to save him. This is Isaiah. We don't have to turn there. I'm trying to be quick. Isaiah 53:6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. That response is a strange response, humanly speaking. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to our own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. This is the divine response. This is a godly response. When the Bible says God is holy, this is what it's talking about. God does not respond in the way that I would respond if I was in charge. If the sheep had gone astray and gone everyone to their own way, that next part of the verse wouldn't be there. But since God is holy, since God is righteous, he said, I will take upon myself the responsibility for what they have done. Therefore, Jesus Christ was not crucified far away from Jerusalem, but he was crucified in the midst of at Calvary in between two thieves, indicating that God has desired to share in the penalty, to take the penalty for something that we have done. This is Jesus Christ, friend of sinners. Amen? I just want to, in closing, read a few of my favorite texts on this subject. 1 John 2:1, it says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, who knows the rest of that? We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. What is an advocate? A lawyer. Yeah, and we know that the lawyer, as a defendant, you show up to court and you have someone with you, someone who supports you. You have a helper. And that's the image that is given to us in the scriptures of God. In the context of sin, we have a helper. We have an advocate. We have a support. Jesus Christ, friend of sinners. Psalm 86:5 says, for thou, Lord, art ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon you. Ready to forgive. Jesus Christ, friend of sinners. The parables of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the prodigal son bring out in distinct lines God's pitying love for those who are straying from him. Although they have turned away from God, he does not leave them in their misery. He is full of kindness and tender pity toward all who are exposed to the temptations of the artful foe. Amen. This is from Christ Object Lessons. This man receiveth sinners. The souls who came to Jesus felt in his presence that even for them there was escape from the pit of sin. The Pharisees had only scorn and condemnation for them, but Christ greeted them as children of God, estranged indeed from the Father's house, but not forgotten by the Father's heart. And their misery and sin made them only the more objects of his compassion. The farther they had wandered from him, the more earnest the longing and the greater the sacrifice for their rescue. Though rewarded with evil for good and hatred for his love, he steadfastly pursued his mission of mercy. Never were those repelled that sought his grace. A homeless wanderer, reproach and penury his daily lot, he lived to minister to the needs and to lighten the woes of men, to plead with them to accept the gift of life. The waves of mercy, beaten back by those stubborn hearts, returned in a stronger tide of pitying, inexpressible love. Amen.
Amen.
This is Jesus Christ, friend of sinners. In Genesis, he ate, she ate. There was a consequence. God clothed them. Cain slew his brother, and the consequence was death, and the Lord set a mark on Cain. Jonah said, "Put me into the ocean." And they put him into the ocean because of himself. And the Lord God prepared a fish to preserve the life of Jonah. These stories are placed here to encourage us, because Satan will say, "What about that thing you did? Don't pray. Stay away from God." God in his word has given us an answer for a sinner. And the answer is not, "Oh, it wasn't that bad, the thing I did. Oh, I didn't know any better." We don't need that. The only answer we need is Jesus Christ, the one who says, "Him that cometh to me, I shall in no wise cast out." This is our advocate. This is our defender. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, I believe that these are things that we have heard before. We're thankful to hear them again. And we have need of a constant shining of your light upon our soul. May we come to see you as our friend, as our helper. The promise is, "For she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." May we draw nigh unto you and see you as you are. May the promise come to pass for us. For we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. In Jesus' name. Let us stand for our closing hymn, I think. Is that right? Closing hymn?
Yes, let's stand. I'm thankful that Christ is my friend, because I am a sinner, aren't you? Yes. And so in that, I think we should dedicate ourselves as we sing number 308, "Holy Thine." Our entire being should be a thanksgiving to God.
Worldly pleasure, wealth, or fame, without.
You can sit down, please. Yeah. Well, this is the end of our worship service. And as you probably know, we have big events at 1 o'clock. And I don't know exactly what's going to handle, but the Thanksgiving musical banquet. So I urge you to stay here. If you're hungry, we'll feed you. I went downstairs earlier. There are a lot of food waiting for us. And this is a bountiful heart from all our church ladies to prepare for all of you. And also at the back there's a book cart ministry, and it's a book that you can take free. And apparently last Sabbath we had a lot of books written by Ellen G. White. A lot of them gone, but we have another supply here apparently. And obviously, we didn't check all the books, their contents. So you as an adult, look it through. If you want to give it to children, make sure that it's a good content for the children's reading. And so you can use that. And please empty all the books there. And so we don't have to worry about that. Well, may God bless you and enjoy the Thanksgiving week. And praise God, because we'll enter His gate with thanksgiving. May God bless all of you. Thank you very much.